This is the Evil Never Dies podcast with Brett and Carl. This podcast may contain adult themes, violence, and strong language. Listener discretion is advised.
The Evil Never Dies podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Evil Never Dies podcast. I'm Brett, here with Carl. What's going on, brother?
Well, apparently it is our beginning of season 3 of the Evil Never Dies podcast.
A.K.A. second AKA anniversary show.
Anniversary. Oh, my God. Not another anniversary show. That was our first YouTube show ever, and it was terrible. It was 3.5 hours long.
It was awful.
Can we not make it long this time?
No, we're not going to make it long. We just...
Good. I've been here for 2 years now, and I forget what episode this would be.
I think it's 168, I believe.
That sounds about right. So episode 168.
Season 3, episode 168.
That's pretty impressive, I would think. I don't know, but I think it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, me too. I'm really, you know, just for doing this for fun, you know. We've always started out, when we first started out, we said, we're just doing this for fun and, you know, so.
Yep, so.
Have you had fun, Carl?
Some nights. Last week, it wasn't so fun with the Bride of Frankenstein.
Oh.
That was kind of a trippy episode. I come up pretty apologetic for not liking the movie, though, I think. So,
yeah, for sure.
I actually listened to that whole episode twice.
Twice? Oh, my God. I listened to it once because you told you told me how horrible it was.
It was. You were messing up.
I know.
You know.
I know. I'm manning up, brother. I know. So, but anyway,
the set twice, but not tonight. Tonight's going to be good.
Twice? You did walk off twice? See?
Yeah, I did. I walked off twice.
Remember that, man. So,
you were drunk.
Yes.
Not now. We're all good. So,
I'm not.
Season 3 begins tonight. We're going to do some thank yous and some greetings from our friends. And then we're actually going to an episode. So this is going to be different than last year.
Yeah, we're not going to waste your time.
And say, we're back.
Well, so, I might say that.
No, we're not saying that. So anyway, where do you want to get started, host Brett?
I don't know. There's so many thank yous I need to say. I don't know if I'm going to remember them all.
Well, you started out because you are the host of the show, remember?
I know that, I guess.
I am not.
Even though I consider us equals.
We are not equals. And I say that a lot jokingly, but I want to tell everybody, Brett edits all this. He does all of the, what do you call it? Not directing. Producing. Everything. You put the whole thing together. I don't do anything behind the scenes. I just show up and talk. So Brett needs to be commended. And you've really gotten really good at this. From when you started, I've seen so much improvement. Now, I can honestly say I've been doing this kind of crap since the 90s and always played sort of the sidekick. And I was used to being Video Bob's sidekick. And you're not Video Bob, but I'm going to tell you what. You're damn good, Brett, and I'm proud of you.
Well, I appreciate that, man.
I'm really proud of you. You've grown a lot since this thing started, and I commend you 100% for all the work you do. It's impressive, and that's the honest truth right there.
It's getting easier and easier dealing with what I've been doing for, you know, everything I do is free software, stuff like that. So I got to really tweak stuff to get it, you know. Well, the way
you do
I
a good
it.
Job on it, and it's looking very professional now.
Well, I appreciate that.
So I'm being honest. I mean, I know I joke around a lot, but I'm sincerely saying that we need to give Evil Never Dies Bubba Brett lots of credit for putting this show together and keeping it on the air, or the podcast, or the YouTube, or whatever the hell we're on. See, I was once on cable access. That's how old I am. That's right, cable access. So this is just
in the 90s.
Another phase of me doing this kind of crap. But again, I was always just the sidekick and kind of behind the scenes guy then. So nothing's changed for me.
Well, I wanted to commend you too, man. You've really stepped it up this year, man.
How?
Been doing some midweeks and stuff like that.
Oh, I have done a few midweeks.
I'm covering me, helping me out when I've needed some time off and stuff like that. And we haven't had to skip a fucking episode, I don't think.
I even was doing stuff when I had my surgery, and I probably shouldn't have been. So
yes,
that was okay, I think, of me.
So, yeah, man.
See, I'll turn to the side. Y'all can see all my cool stuff behind me that I always sit in front of. If you're not on YouTube, you're missing out a large part of the show. So check us out on YouTube and subscribe.
Yeah. Pause it to look at everything.
Look at all my cool shit. And now I'm going to hide it again.
Yes, you'll have to pause to look at look at it all.
Well, thanks again. I appreciate the comments as well. Definitely, we've gotten good at this. I think we can do it even more. Not and there, and a lot of people. I know Jimbo's pretty aware of it, but we do this on Friday nights, and we both work all day. And Fridays are a tough day, so coming on and doing a show on Fridays can be a challenge.
Yes, it
can be a big challenge.
That's but why we drink alcohol.
Well, it ain't necessarily that. It's just.
Well, that's why I drink alcohol.
It's just it can prove challenging, you know, to spend the whole week and have a rough day and then have to come on and put on a good show the best we can. I know some weeks are better than others. Last week, I wasn't critiquing the show as much as I was critiquing myself for downing on a classic horror movie, but I'm proud that I was actually honest about that. Because I remember the first time I was honest on a movie was probably that darn, what's his name's Dracula. What's that guy's name?
Oh, The Blood for Dracula.
The Blood for Dracula.
Andy
that was the
Warhol
first time I remember me and Brett don't usually talk about what we're going to say. But on that one, I said, Brett, have something prepared as a backup. And you were like, what? I said, we need to have two topics. And you're like, okay. Because I knew I wasn't going to get through that. So I sort of had, and I think next week while we're at the Haunt Convention, Texas Haunters Convention, we're going to play that episode on YouTube because it's never been seen on YouTube before.
Yes,
so you'll see a lot of the
lost free, video,
the lost video of the Blood for Dracula episode with Death Angel filling in as the good moment.
Yeah.
So that will be a classic rewind. We'll see how that turns out. We'll probably get 5 viewers, but oh, well.
Probably.
Okay.
We'll
so,
probably lose subscribers on that one.
No, I think people will find it funny. They just have to look past the video's not going to be perfect, but it's a funny show.
Yes, it was.
So what else we got to talk about here?
Well, I just wanted to give shout outs to people, man. That's, you know, always been there for us, you know?
Well, go for it.
First, you hear her every episode before as our intro. Natasha Riley, our very good pool friend from Australia.
And yeah, we love you, Natasha, and we thanks for everything you do for us.
She's really stepped up. She's been very faithful to the show.
She did get mad at me over Dracula 2000, but I was getting tired at that point. I'd already reviewed like 100 Dracula movies.
Oh. But anyway, thank you, Natasha. We love you, girl. Appreciate what you've done for us. And thank you. Do you got anybody to thank, Carl?
Well, I'm going to pull out and say that Probably the only reason why I'm actually even doing this thing is I got to give credit to Jerry and Tracy Polly, because I remember at Moxley Manor for like a year before we even thought of this, she's like, you need to listen to those guys. You need to listen to them, because we can do a podcast and check them out. So really, I give Jerry and Tracy so much credit for kind of taking us under their wing and helping us so much.
Exactly.
You know, Jerry's had me on his show actually, and that was really cool of him.
Yeah, that was a good episode too, man.
I want to thank them, because without them, this show would have never happened. That's just all there is to it. So thank you both, and we appreciate you guys.
Yes, they are the nicest people you ever meet. They would give you the shirt off their back. Awesome people for sure. So, yeah.
Who you got?
The creepy guys. Todd, Sean, and Nate from Middle Aged and Creeped Out podcast. Them guys have supported us since day one, man.
Since day one, they've been there.
And I have no idea why.
I don't know why either, but they do.
But, yeah, they got a great show too, man. And, yeah, them guys rock for sure. Love those.
Agreed, 100%.
Nate is their engineer, and I still don't have an engineer.
No, you're the engineer.
I'm the engineer.
That's what I said. You keep the show going. You're engineer.
Maybe I should change my name to Nate.
Maybe.
Oh, he's an award-winning engineer, too.
He did win an award. We have not. We're supposed to give out awards, but I forgot about it until just now, so we haven't got no awards to give out yet.
I got a couple of awards, I guess, I could fucking throw out there, but after we're done.
We'll do that later.
All right, who do you got?
Definitely got to throw out our brothers in crime, Jimbo and Kyle from the Tragedy of Cinema podcast. They tuck us in as well, and now we have all kinds of the whole ape thing that you guys are doing together in Real Talk, and just love those guys to death. And again, they've really been supporters, and Jimbo is always behind the scenes giving us advice and suggestions, and I appreciate that a lot. He's been there always checking on me when, you know, I like through this surgery and stuff. So definitely a huge thanks to them and putting up with us, especially Brett. I know that can be hard to do.
I know it. Yeah.
Just a bit.
Remember we collabed with them on Friday the 13th. That was a good episode. That was like almost exactly a year ago.
Yes, it was.
I just put that was on my, timeline there the other day. So
well, me and Jimbo have all kinds of ideas to collaborate on, but I don't think time is on our side, so we haven't got there yet. But maybe in the next year you'll see me and Jimbo do a few things together. We got plans, but finding the time is always the key there.
Exactly. So yeah, thanks Jimbo and Kyle, love you guys. And hopefully we can do that thing here in October with them.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yes, that would be. We need to talk about that more, guys. So, yeah.
Yeah, remember I'm disappearing on the Sunday and going to see Kiss though. I'll be abandoning ship as soon as the haunt.
Yeah, I'll be
over.
Putting shit away, tearing shit down myself.
Probably. It's either that or lose me on the Friday night before. It's your choice.
You can do both if you want, brother. We'll I ain't see. Complaining.
I definitely want to go to Austin. I love going to Austin. There's a lot of museums down there I like to go to, and me and Madison have been down there together. It's a fun place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live in Austin.
Oh, hell no.
But it is fun to visit, so.
It's not, the traffic ain't as bad, but still, I just wouldn't want to live there.
Nah.
Let's see, who else do we need to thank here?
You said you had a whole list of people, so go
for it. I didn't have a whole list, but...
You said you did.
I guess I'll thank Tim Mullins, even though he didn't send us a anniversary greeting.
Tim's been dealing with a lot of problems with all them storms or whatever that went through there.
Yeah, I know. I'm just busting his balls.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got his whole $5,000 computer set up fried in a storm while he's on vacation.
Yeah.
How come shit like that always happens when you go on vacation? You come back and shit's fucked up.
I don't know.
That's happened to me.
I want to thank our buddy, the Great Gazoo, though.
Yes.
He's always there.
Yeah, he is.
We've had some good messages between us, too. So he's very supportive as well.
Yeah, he's a good guy, man. He's our good friend from Canada. He's one of them Trailer Park Boys.
Yeah.
If you ever watch the Trailer Park Boys, he's from up there where they're from. So
he's also a big baseball fan, too. So me and him banner back between the Rangers and the Blue Jays.
Yep. Thanks for being a loyal listener, Gazoo the Great.
Yeah, definitely. But we have a lot of good listeners and followers and friends and people join us on our what do we call it? The little meet things.
The Zoom meeting.
The Zoom meets, yeah.
Yeah, Tiffany Boots, I want to thank her, and Christine Collier.
Yeah, they're always
on
there.
They're always on there talking with us. And Greg Bozzelli from the Monsters in the Mosh Pit podcast. He's always on there on them real talks too with Jimbo and them.
Yeah, Greg's a good guy. I like Greg a lot.
So what else you got? You got anybody else to thank, Carl?
No, we're going to have to shut this down or we're going to not have time to do our episode. So
exactly. So
I almost wonder if you ought to save this file and then we do this and then do the episode. I don't know.
Well, I think we're going to save this and in between there, we're going to play some messages we got from some of our friends. So
sounds like a plan. And
we're going to make a drink.
The movie that we've been talking about for 2 years, Dee Snider's Strangeland, finally tonight.
Yep. After this little break, everybody, stay tuned.
Congratulations, Carl and Brett, on 2 years of the Evil Never Dies podcast. Yay! I love your podcast. It has become such a big part of my life over the last 2 years, and I've had a lot of fun listening and being a part of it all. So thank you so much for all that you do, all the effort you put in. Thank you for letting me be a part of it. And I can't wait to hear more sass from Carl and more movie reviews and learn more about bands that I love. Thank you so much. Congratulations. Yay, 2 years.
Hey guys, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Tracy.
And we are
Hillbilly Horror Stories.
And we want to congratulate Brett and Carl from the Evil Never Dies podcast on 2 years.
2 years, man, that's gone by fast, hasn't it?
I know, it seems like 2 minutes underwater. But no, we just really want to say congratulations, guys. That's a hell of an accomplishment.
It is. We're so proud of you guys. Congratulations.
Hey, Evil Ones, this is Todd, Sean, and Nate of the Middle-Aged and Creeped Out podcast.
Brett and Carl, we want to say happy 2 years. Can't believe that you guys have been doing this.
Congrats on the 2 years, Brett and Carl, from the award-winning sound engineer, Nate.
So, Brett and Carl, we are proud of you, and keep it going, guys. We love your show. We love you, and remember, keep it creepy.
Yeah, that's right.
See ya.
All right, guys, it's Jimbo
and Kyle
from the Tragedy of Cinema podcast.
Right on.
And we would just like to take this opportunity to congratulate Brett and Carl and the Evil Never Dies podcast on completing their 2-year anniversary, now trudging on to year three.
Year two. They're walking, they're talking, little babies. It's great.
Brett, it's been great seeing you grow as a podcaster and content creator. Carl, you're more than a contributor. You are the co-host. So don't ever think anything differently. It's been fun doing our Planet of the Apes collaborations with you guys, as well as our real talks afterwards. So
it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, hopefully we can do a lot more collaborations in the future, and who knows, maybe even a live podcast sometime in the future down there in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. You know, they're going for this big push right now, Kyle, that if they get 20 YouTube subscribers, new subscribers, Brett is going to get a shorter haircut. But what they don't know is I've added to the podcast. Brett said on his recent episode that not only do those 20 people get added to a t-shirt drawing, but I'm adding to their contest that if they get 30 YouTube subscribers,
what are you going
to
do, Jimbo?
He has to shave his eyebrows.
Shave his eyebrows.
We want to put the pressure on him like I put the pressure on you.
The full-on Uncle Fester.
The full-on Uncle Fester. Uncle Brester.
Uncle Brester, yes.
So
I'm calling from now on.
So, guys, congratulations. Keep up the good work. Yeah. It's not only great to call you guys our colleagues, but it's even better to call you our friends.
Absolutely.
So keep up the good work.
Yep.
Later.
Hey, everybody. We're back.
Don't start that. So we're going into the movie for this episode, and it is D. Snyder's Strangeland. 1998 horror movie written by D. Snyder, formerly of Twisted Sister fame. Amongst many, many things D. Snyder has done, he's a jack of all trades.
Yes, he is, for sure.
And I've been talking about this movie, I think, since we started the podcast, about how much I liked it, and I thought it influenced a lot of stuff, so... Now we're going to do a review on it, and I'm going to have to be honest. Is this movie as good as I think it is? So we'll find out as we go along.
Okay.
Now, spoilers, we're going to try not to throw many out there. There may be some and just general information about the movie, but we're not going to give away the plot or the ending or any of that. So a lot of people probably have not seen Strangeland. A lot of people probably haven't seen it in a long time. So don't want to spoil it.
It's sort of like a cult classic in a way, you know.
It has become a very much a cult classic, and
it was never released. What, you know, I think when it was released, it was only released in like 600 theaters.
The problem with Strangeland, it came too soon. If this thing was out when Lionsgate was in its prime, this would have been about as big a hit as Saw, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
I think it, I don't know if it had been that big of a hit, but if Lionsgate could have got a hold of this film, they would have really turned it into something. But at the time, they were a small, small player still.
Yep, exactly.
So it was released by this company called, I have to look because I don't remember the name of it. They were called The Shooting Gallery.
The Shooting Gallery and Ruckus Releasing.
Yeah. So, before we start, just a little info from The Shooting Gallery. Apparently they went bankrupt and they like pretty much stole this movie away from D. Snyder. The only thing that saved it was they had like a distribution deal with, what was it? I think it was Artisan Entertainment.
Yeah.
Well, Artisan's now a part of Lionsgate. So it's in print, readily in print, only on DVD. Never been released on Blu-ray, and probably because that production company went broke, and I don't even know if they've got the movie or not. So it will probably always live on streaming. You can actually get it in HD on Vudu and on DVD. So thanks to that shady company, this movie was sort of lost time, sort of in a way. Exactly. But it has become a cult classic.
And it's really, really a good movie, I think so.
Well, we'll get into the nitty-gritty of the movie. I mean, is it really as good as I tell people it is? Honestly, we will find out. But I'll let you start with your thing, so hit it, Bubba Brett.
All righty, it was directed by John Peplau. Like you said, it was written.
Don't know who that guy was or how D found him either.
No idea. There's
nobody knows,
even...
yeah.
He's like an unknown guy, but
I think D said that he just sort of handled that end of things because D was doing everything else.
Yeah, he was.
He was.
Written, produced, and starring D. Snyder from Twisted Sister.
And this is a good time to note that this movie actually came from a Twisted Sister song.
Exactly.
It was a two-part song, Captain Howdy and Street Justice.
Yep.
So D had talked about
horror what? Horror.
The Horatella or Horatilla.
Something like that.
I never.
It was like French or something.
Yeah. D talked for years that he was going to turn that into a movie, and everybody's like, oh, come on, D. Snyder, you're not going to make a movie. Well, damned if he didn't. It took him a minute, but he made a movie.
And that was off their album, Stay Hungry.
Off of Stay Hungry. And I honestly kind of wish they would have called the movie Captain Howdy. I think it would have been a better fit.
I think they had something with the Exorcist camp about it.
Captain Howdy actually was in the Exorcist. That was the ghost that Reagan, aka Linda Blair, was talking to on the Ouija board, I believe.
It was Pazuzu.
That was the demon.
Yeah, that's who she conjured up with the Ouija board. Himself
Captain Howdy, though, so she was talking to Captain Howdy.
But it was actually Pazuzu.
That's an actual demon. You might want to say its name with all my demons around here. It'll come over the computer and get you.
It was also produced by Larry Maestrich and David L. Buschel. Cinematography, Goran Pakovic. Edited by Jeff Kustinier and Joe Wu Jr. Say that 10 times real fast, Carl.
No, thank you.
Music by Anton Sanko.
Now, he did the score. The music is by like a 25 heavy metal bands.
Yeah.
But this guy did the score, and I'll talk about the score a little bit later, too.
Like we said, production companies were Shooting Gallery, Snyder, The New Productions.
That was D's company, obviously.
Distributed by Ruckus Releasing, Artisan Entertainment, Behavior Communications, and it was released on October 2nd, 1998. Did you see it when it first came out? Or
no, it wasn't released anywhere in Texas that I know of.
Really?
There was actually a tour. They actually had a Strangeland tour that went on with, I think it was Seven Dust. I can look real quick. I actually have this right here. It was called Strangeland the Tour, headlined by Soulfly, featuring Snot, and I think Seven Dust. And most of the tour dates were up in the northeast.
Huh.
I got into Pennsylvania and Ohio, and that's about it. So there was a tour that did not have D. Snyder on it and had nothing to do with the movie, but they called it it was just called Strangeland the Tour.
Because they were
Soulfly. So
Soulfly wasn't Soulfly on the
they're on the album, yeah. But I just thought that was album. I always thought that was strange that they had a music tour that didn't feature D. Snyder. I don't know.
That's crazy.
And it only was up in the northeast. So they sure did not know how to market this movie, whoever the hell the Shooting Gallery was. Like I said, if Lionsgate could have got a hold of this thing, it would have been huge.
Well, it was sort of taboo at the time because of the content of the movie, too.
Yeah, I think that Strangeland inspired the Saw movies and probably the Hostel movies and all these torture movies.
And among other things.
Among other things, with all the piercings and scarification and torture.
Yeah.
The only thing that came close to this movie was maybe Seven, and Seven was nowhere as shocking content-wise as Strangeland. So D created a movie that, even though it might not have been a big hit at the time, like you said, is not only a cult classic, but inspired a whole generation of movies to this
day.
Possibly. What do you think? Possibly. Explain.
I don't know. I'm just saying possibly.
I think it did.
Okay.
D All does right. too. D actually said, yeah, my movie was a game changer. I think he's right.
All right. It had a running time of 87 minutes, which it seemed way longer than that.
It does seem longer.
There's a lot of shit going on.
Actually, the unrated version, and it is longer than the, I think, the VHS version.
Country of origin is the United States. English language. Budget was $1.1 million.
They did a lot with $1 million.
Yes, they did. But they didn't even make their money back.
Well, that's because the fucker didn't get released.
Yeah.
You can't make money when you don't put it in the screens. Now, it probably made money back way over on video and DVD.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you think back...
Well, I think even back then, it was hard to find that video and DVD.
It wasn't hard for me. I'll go into that story when you want me to. do remember, 1998, there was a new gizmo that came out around 96, and it was called the DVD player, if you remember. And I will say right now, D. Snyder Strangeland was the first DVD that I ever purchased.
Really?
Ever. When okay. I bought my DVD, there was actually one other movie. It was Lord of Illusion. I paid $30 each for these movies. They were $60 for two DVDs.
Wow.
Strangeland was the first movie that I actually bought. And then I think Lord of Illusion I got later in the day. When I went home, I had two DVDs to watch on this brand new $700 DVD player that I bought.
$700.
I'm making that up, but it was expensive. But I found it very easily. Yeah. And that was the first time I saw it was on DVD. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, most of the DVDs that came out in the earlier days are shit. This movie looks better than Blu-ray on DVD. Every time I watch it, I'm not impressed with, like, God, that looks so good. It don't really need a Blu-ray release. The movie looks great on DVD.
Well,
but that is your trivia.
They had a very good cinematographer.
Who's the cinematographer?
Cinematographer is Goran.
Oh, Pavlovich. I don't think I got another Gordon mesh mix or whatever it's got to do with this DVD got mixed well. I don't know how or why, but I don't know if it not being available on video. It's funny because the case is real heavy on this thing. I mean, like, really heavy. And it came with this little booklet, which D gives some interviews on. It's got a comic book in it. It talks about the music. And then it talks about the upcoming tour. So obviously the tour came after the movie got released because it was being promoted in the Blu-ray or the DVD, sorry. And yeah, the tour was after the movie was released.
Okay.
And then it came with the big booklet, which gave the chapters and a little bit more, some of the pictures. And on the back, it had a catalog of everything Artisan Pictures had released on DVD at the time. You can see they had a pretty good little catalog going for early days.
Well, that's cool. Well, anyway, it only made $713,000 at the box office. So,
but I bet you it made it back on DVD purchases.
Probably.
And Blockbuster rentals.
All right, Carl, go over the plot of this movie.
Okay, so it starts. Now, this movie's unique because, to my knowledge, it's one of the first movies that deal with the topic of internet stalking. And again, this is 1997 when they filmed it, 98 when it came out. A lot of people weren't on the internet back then. Trust me, I was. There wasn't a lot of people there. Anyway, it starts with two girls on a chat room, which back in 1997, 98, that's about all we had to do on the internet was go on chat rooms. there wasn't a whole lot of content on the internet back then. And they find someone with the scream name of Captain Howdy. So I think the girls were Genevieve and Tatiana or Tiana.
Tiana, yeah.
They are invited to go to a party at Captain Howdy's house. Well, guess what? They say they're going to go. Well, they should have listened to the song in 1984 that says, stay away from Captain Howdy. They did not. They went to Captain Howdy, and they wish they hadn't by the time they were done.
Exactly.
So where else do you want me to go? Is that enough? Or
We'll
go to the next morning. So the mother discovers that Genevieve was missing. It hadn't come home for the night, I guess it would be. Calls the other girl's parents, and then she's also not home. Well, it happens that her husband is the local detective, Michael Gage. So Gage and his partner are going to go searching for Genevieve and Tiana and find out where they are. And that's the plot of our movie. They are taken by Captain Howdy. Now, who is Captain Howdy? We'll go over that a little bit.
All right, I'm going to go over to the cast, so we'll go over to that.
Okay, do the cast, and I'm going to tell people who Captain Howdy is and what he looked like.
All right, first we have Dee Snider as Captain Howdy, and who?
Carlton somebody.
Hendrix. I thought you knew this.
I never paid any attention to that part. I always get bored when he turns into the normal guy.
He looks like such a fucking freak, too.
He said that was the worst part of the movie, trying to play that role of that Carlton.
Yeah, he hated wearing the cardigan sweater.
He did. So, yeah, me and Dee both agree that part of the movie was boring.
Yeah, that was. Until he got, well, I'm not going to go into it.
Yeah, until he got refreshed.
Next, we have Linda Cardellini. As Genevieve Gage, who is Detective Mike Gage's daughter, played by Kevin Gage.
And Dee, you know, said who... that it was a coincidence that they were both named Gage. He said when he was casting, he's like, well, that'd be cool if that guy got it because they have the same last name.
And you know who Linda Cardellini is?
I don't, but...
You remember a sitcom called Freaks and Geeks?
Vaguely, I do.
Well, she was the lead character in that.
Gotcha.
And she's been in a couple other things, too, so.
Most of the actors, hold on, I've dropped stuff, so I went off mic a minute. Most of the actors in this are sort of more support actors. I don't think a lot of them have been lead actors at this point.
Exactly.
I think Kevin Gage was in, what was that movie called? Heat. That was sort of one of, he was in Con Air.
G.I. Jane.
He'd been more of a supporting actor. This was his first like lead role, probably.
Yeah.
Not a bad actor.
No. Next we got Elizabeth Pena as Tony Gage.
And she Mike passed Gage. Away like a few years ago.
Yeah, yeah. She was in all kinds of stuff.
She was actually probably the more
Jacob's
known
Ladder.
Yeah. Besides Robert Englund, who you'll get to in a minute, I would say she was the most known actor from the movie, unless you count Dee.
Next, we got Brett Harrelson as Detective Steve Christensen.
And he's also known as Woody's brother.
Woody's brother. He was sort of a dick in the movie.
Yeah, Dee even commented that he was really good at being a dick, and that the blonde-headed girl,
We'll get to her.
Even was looking at him kind of like, you look like a dick. And Dee's sort of like, maybe there was like a behind the scenes moment with them two.
Next, we got Robert Englund as Jackson Jack Roth. Yes.
He played Robert Englund, Freddy Krueger in the movie.
Yes. And he played such a good part, too.
Well, at one point he says, I'm doing the Freddy, and he's dancing.
There's a couple of stuff from Friday or from Nightmare on Elm Street.
He does a Freddy smile in it as well.
Next, we got Amy Smart as Angela Stravelli.
And she's a pretty known actor later on, too. She's been in a lot of things.
Yes, she has. Let's see what she's been in. She's in Starship Troopers.
She was. I forgot that.
Campfire Tales. And that's all I can see right there.
I think she was in the Butterfly Effect.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right.
That's what I remember her from because I love that movie. Very pretty girl, too.
She's... Put that on the list.
Okay.
Next, we got Tucker Smallwood as Captain Churchill Robbins.
Yeah, but he had a second role in the movie.
Yes, he did. He played a fetish man. And he had
a studded
mask on. Yeah.
So D said that he didn't realize that the captain was in the fetish outfit. If he had, he would have wrote an entire story that was his alternative lifestyle. And that when the two detectives come in, he would have been creeped out like, oh my God, they're going to catch me. But
yep, they were like going to do an alternative.
Yeah. Like another
story about it. Yeah.
That the captain was in on some of this, maybe. Am I better sounding now?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I think I'd fallen down a little bit.
Yeah, I saw it creeping down there.
Yeah. Good catch. I got
all
it.
All right.
Now.
Next, we got Yvonne Call as Rose Stravelli.
I don't even remember her.
Robert Lasardo as Matt Myers. He was the tow truck driver.
And D was really proud of his job in the movie.
Yeah, he was.
As the guy was a tattoo.
He's played in all kinds of like gang movies and stuff like that.
And I guess he's a piercer or whatever. What do you call somebody that likes to pierce? I don't know.
I don't know.
But D said he came to the thing and he already knew the lines of the script. He's like, I really want this role. So D's like, okay.
Even though what his on the script was wrong.
It was wrong.
Yeah, we'll get into that after a little bit.
Okay. We're going to forget all this stuff we're going to get into.
All right. Next, we got Jay Cooch Lachisse.
What?
As the Zababa bouncer. The Zababa is the bar that they go to. Which was once a church.
And now it's this goth fetish bar, I guess you would call it. Yeah. I don't know.
They got people hanging by their nipples by hooks and all kinds of shit.
And the band Bile playing on the stage.
Yeah. And something about that, too. They didn't get credit for that scene.
Well, they were actually in the scene twice. They were on stage and they were actually standing out in the audience waiting to get into the club. So,
well that's who this Cooch guy is.
Cooch got the screws put to him because he was in the movie twice and didn't get credited for it.
He was a band member of Bile.
Yes. I think Bile has several band members. They have all kind of, they're kind of a cool band, I think.
And
I sort of like that industrial metal shit. So,
yeah,
sort of up my alley.
It's different. Next, we got Barbara Champion as Catherine Sunny McIntosh. And she's that woman you were talking about earlier. The blonde woman that was bitching in the movie. You know what I'm talking about. She got the sword stuck to her.
Yeah, boobies. But I didn't talk about her. You talked about her.
I thought you mentioned her earlier.
No.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Okay. I accept your apology. Sincerely.
Next, we got Arnell Rowe as Tiana Moore, and she played Genevieve Gage's, the daughter's friend.
And she was actually 16 years old when she filmed that movie.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. Because D said he kind of wanted normal-looking girls. He wanted them to look like just real people that were playing on the internet, which was still sort of in the infant stage. Like I said, There wasn't a lot of people other than us computer nerds on the internet in the 90s. I guess America Online or Prodigy is what started to bring people out. But
well, I don't think that Linda Cardellini was had done anything. I don't think she had done the Freaks and Geeks until after this movie. So I think this might have been.
I don't remember
movie.
Much about that show, really.
It was a good show.
Well, I've already forgot what I was going to bring up later.
What do you mean you forgot?
I said I was going to bring up stuff later, and you kept stopping me, so I forgot what I was going to bring up later.
Well, do you want to go to the soundtrack?
The soundtrack is more legendary than the movie in many ways.
A lot, yeah. It's a very good soundtrack. Okay. I think I got this on a burned version on a CD somewhere.
I've got the CD. I've got it on Apple Music because I don't know if it's on Apple Music because of all the different artists. But you want to go ahead and go over that, and I'll make some commentary as we go.
All right. First, we got Dee Snider doing the song In Conclusion.
That was played in the beginning of the movie where the credits ran. And this was Dee Snider's first solo project ever after leaving Twisted Sister in 1987. This was his first solo song. Sort of a gothy, grungy, dark,
gritty
song.
Yeah, really gritty,
very gritty. It sounds nothing like any of his other bands. It don't sound like Widowmaker or Twisted Sister.
Maybe Nine Inch Nails is the itch.
Yeah, I think Dee was going through an industrial. Everybody was kind of industrial music around this time.
All right, next we got Seven Dust, Breathe.
Seven Dust played a big role in the movie. They actually, their video's on the DVD.
I love Seven Dust, man.
Good band.
I've seen them so many times. I've probably said it before, but they used to play our radio station up in Peoria, Illinois. They used to play their Christmas show every year for probably 10 years in a row.
Yeah, I've always liked Seven Dust.
They always put on a good show, for sure.
Well, I think the third song was Megadeth, who we've been talking about a lot the last couple of months.
Exactly. A Secret Place, which has to do with incest.
Yeah, and there's probably some going in this movie somewhere. Captain Howdy, God dang, that guy's crazy.
Next, we got Pantera, Where You Come From.
And this is where Dee commented that a lot of these songs he got just because these bands were fans of his or friends of his, and he really didn't have the money to pay him, so they were just throwing songs at him. And I think Megadeth and Pantera and Anthrax, who is, I think, next on the list, came in. They just pretty much said, here, Dee, here's you some songs for your movie.
Yep. Next, we got Anthrax, Piss and Vinegar.
Yeah, and there was some vinegar being pissed. In this movie. That's a guarantee. Sick stuff.
Next, we got Snot, Absent.
Yeah, the lead singer from Snot had passed away by the time the movie came out. Yeah. I don't even know if Snot's still around or not. I don't know anything about him.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Next, we got track 7, Day in the Life, Street Justice.
Now, that was a Twisted Sister song that they covered, and they did not do a good job of it at all.
Yeah,
it's not a very bad cover version of Street Justice, and I give that thumbs down.
Not very memorable in the movie.
Not memorable at all.
Next, we got track 8, Cold Chamber, Not Living. You like Cold Chamber, Carl?
Nah, they're okay. Don't hate them.
How about Devil Driver? You like Devil Driver?
Sort of.
Okay.
I'll tell you who I like. Bile.
Do you?
Yes. Really? Now they're next on the list. The song In League, Bile.
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you what, I still listen to this song, actually.
Yeah, I think I got
that's
it
the
on
song
my
they,
favorites,
this is the
too.
Song that was playing when the detectives enter the nightclub/church where all the activity was going on. Dee himself said that probably some of the stuff in that part of the movie was illegal in most states that they did. So, and that they actually, whoever was running the show, the director, I guess, is like, maybe we should film a TV version of this scene, and Dee's like, dude, this ain't ever going to be on the NBC movie of the week, so yeah, we're not filming shit.
It was almost like sort of Rammstein, and you know, in a way, you know, the way they were playing on stage.
Well, the one bald dude starts pulling his nose off in the middle of it, stops singing, and just starts pulling off his nose.
Yeah,
cool stuff.
Next, track 10, Marilyn Manson, Sweet Tooth.
Was this before Marilyn was big or after?
I think he just started out. I think Smells Like Children just came out then.
Because I noticed when Dee was talking about it, he called him the band Marilyn Manson. And in the beginning, they were a band. It wasn't until years later that Marilyn Manson sort of Alice Cooper'd the band away.
Yep.
So that's why I thought it was more of a when they were just starting out. I remember buying Smells Like Children. I was like, this is the weirdest shit I've ever heard, except for the...
Yeah, I got to see him live then, and it was weird as shit, dude. Weird.
Well, luckily, Marilyn Manson got better.
Weird stage show, for sure. I'd never seen that.
He got better as he became more of a solo artist.
Yeah. All right, track 11, Soulfly, Eye for an Eye. That's a heavy fucking song, dude.
We like Soulfly, and they were the ones. Soulfly. They were the ones headlining the Strangeland tour, like I said earlier.
And it's, who is that? It's Max from Sepultura.
Sepultura, yeah.
And I think the old drummer from Sepultura. I think you're right. If I'm not mistaken.
No, that's Igor. He was the drummer.
Okay. Well, anyway.
Yeah.
Track 13, or track 12, Head P.E., Serpent Boy. I don't know if I've even heard that song.
I don't know anything about that one.
Wasn't memorable in the movie?
No. But now 13 is memorable, and this was one of the first times I ever heard of this person.
Yeah, me too, for sure.
Kid Rock.
Kid Rock, the song Fuck Off, featuring Eminem.
I didn't see Eminem. They have the video on the DVD, and it's more of a metal song than a rap song, in my opinion.
Well, Eminem didn't even come out until 3-4 years later, you know?
Yeah, so Dee's like pulling these people out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I kind of credit Dee for finding Kid Rock. Of course, Kid Rock turned into a country artist a few years later, so what can you say?
Track 14, The Clay People, Awake.
I have no clue who The Clay People are.
No idea either. Track 15, System of a Down, Marmalade. That's a good song.
I know who System of the Down is, and that's a good song, and I think they were some of Dee's friends that contributed.
Track 16, Nashville Pussy, I'm the Man.
Yeah, Dee was singing that during the commentary. I'm a man. I'm the man, motherfucker, or something like that. Good song. Track 17 is Chris. Peter
Crisis.
Chris.
Crisis.
I thought it was Chris. Peter Chris.
No.
I always thought it was Peter Chris that sung this song. You ruined it for me.
Oh, you did not.
I did. And it's Captain Howdy, redone by Chris. Peter. And it sucked. They should never have redone it. They should have just kept the original Twisted Sister version.
And then coming 18, Twisted Sister, Heroes Are Hard to Find.
That is an excellent song. And this was actually the first reunion of Twisted Sister since they broke up.
Exactly.
But this song seemed to have nothing to do with the movie. I kind of think they just threw this song out and Dee just kind of kidnapped it and threw it on the soundtrack.
Well, didn't they do a stuff after this, though, when they got back together? And
they would go back. They would originally have a reunion.
Exactly. And then other songs that were recorded and used in the film, but not present on the official CD. We got the Backyard Babies.
Yeah. That Peter Chris again had another song.
Yeah. Methodology.
And some band named Paul redid Street Justice, and that wasn't included.
Yeah. Exactly. So. All right. You know, this movie was nominated for an award. You know, I got to get my awards in there.
probably awarded as like the worst ever movie because the critics hated this movie.
Actually, it was nominated for the Best Makeup Creature Effects for the Fangoria Chainsaw Awards.
Well, it should have won because that was some good effects.
Yeah.
Did it win?
Just him dressed up after the makeup they had on him trying to cover up his face tattoos. That was award winning right there in itself.
Did they win?
No, they were just nominated.
Gotcha. That's what we were going to talk about. That's what I was going to get into later, is what Captain Howdy looked like. How would we describe Captain Howdy to the listeners and viewers who have not seen this movie?
A tattooed,
pierced
freak.
All muscled up. D was like in excellent shape.
Well, he was, but he's so tall and he's so skinny, but he was in shape, you know?
Yeah, he was for his age at the time, he was in really good shape.
Exactly, for his age.
Not that he was old, because D's just now like turning 60, I think. He's maybe 61 now.
No, he's like 72, I think.
He's not that old.
Is he?
Dude, you're making up shit now. Season 3 and Brett's still making up shit. I bet
he's over 60 for sure. He's got to be over 60 for sure.
He's 62.
Is he? Did you look that up?
I'm looking it up right now.
Okay. How old is D?
He's 68. Stoddard? We're both wrong.
See, I told you he's pushing 70, man.
No, you said he was over 70, but I didn't know D was that old, honestly. I thought he was still younger than that. Well, he acts younger. He looks younger.
Good for D. He looks good for his age.
And he can still sing.
Yeah, he can. Compared to other people that we won't mention.
Who? You mean Vince Neil?
Fangoria anyway, Chainsaw were there nominated.
He is a very creepy looking fella. There's a little bit of a preview if you can look right there.
But he sort of looked freakier when they had him in the
nut house. Yeah,
he still had his long hair and stuff, but just the cake white makeup they had on his face, you know.
Because he had body tattoos over him, and the nut house tried to cover up his tattoo.
You know who he sort of looked like in a way, sort of a little bit?
Who?
Pete Steele from fucking Typo Negative.
Well, as tall as D is, I could see that.
Yeah. Oh.
What else we want to give away on the movie? I was supposed to talk about all this stuff later, and I forgot.
Well, let's see if we've covered everything on the trivia here. On the DVD commentary, Dee Snider mentioned that filming the scenes with Carlton Hendricks rehabilitated and wearing the cardigan, which we've already talked about, he said he couldn't stand it. It kept itching him and was driving him crazy.
Yeah, I think D's just making that up. There's no way that wearing a sweater was more uncomfortable than having all that crap on you.
Exactly. Well, I don't see why it took 3 hours for his makeup. I guess maybe putting the piercings on, because he's not really.
The septum was real.
Yeah, the septum was real. But I think all the nose and the eyelids and all that stuff wasn't real.
Now,
that took a while. That was probably uncomfortable.
Now, that was based on from Stay Hungry, the song Captain Howdy, about a child murderer named Captain Howdy who walked free on a technicality and the mob appearance go after him. There's a line from the movie spoken by Captain Howdy to one of his victims in the song that says, "There, that's better." And that line is actually in the movie. So Dee actually says it as he's, I think, stitching up Genevieve's mouth.
Yes.
The song sort of has similarities of Nightmare on Elm Street and Freddy, but guess what? The movie debuted after the release of Stay Hungry, so
there.
And we mentioned Stay Hungry came from The Exorcist.
Captain Howdy, you mean?
Captain Howdy. Yeah, what did I say? I don't know.
Stay hungry.
See, I'm getting tired when I start moving. Remember, I'll start calling Megadeth's album Holy Wars again. They filmed this thing in Colorado Springs, actually.
Yep.
And they had the full support of Colorado Springs because obviously they'd had no idea what D was taping, including the Colorado Springs police and SWAT team. D commented that you couldn't get that in New York if you filmed a movie. So they did film in Denver. That's where the Zaboba Club was located. And it's the septum. D actually had this thing put in. However the hell, I guess you get pierced for a septum.
But it wasn't as big as they said in the movie.
It wasn't. That's what you was going to bring up. Tell me about that.
Well, I guess the tow truck driver, when he was describing it, said it was a double-aught piercing.
Mm-hmm.
And he said you could fit your finger through it. Well, you'd need a 16th piercing.
They lied.
So they lied.
They lied about the septum. How dare they?
They lied about it.
How dare they? Well, what else you got on your trivia?
Oh, let's see here. There's not much really on this.
I think I've already mentioned a lot of it, probably.
Yes, you have.
Well,
oh, all the newspaper clippings that they show in the movie.
Yeah,
after
D wrote them all.
He wrote them all, and then I guess he spoke them out on the commentary track, didn't he?
I don't remember.
He
that.
Read all the newspaper clippings on the
no
commentary.
No.
Okay, well, that's what it says.
They're
here.
Lying to you.
I'm being lied to.
Now, this thing got a rating of 2.7 of 10 and 6% on Rotten Tomatoes. At one point, Captain Howdy says, I wish I was dead or something, and or why am I not dead? And D commented, yeah, that's what all the critics said about me when this movie came out. This was a critical bomb. The critics absolutely hated this and said it was one of the most poorly acted, directed, and cheap, unconvincing makeup effects they'd ever seen. So,
really?
Yeah, this was a critical bust. They hated it.
I totally disagree.
They hated it.
Then
they only opened at 315 theaters. I think you said that already.
Oh, I thought it was like 600.
No, it was less than that. It's lower than
worse.
That. I thought when you said 600, it was a little bit less than that.
Well, that's even worse shit.
It's lucky it made as much money as it did on that few of screens. Like I said, this was bad time, and D was ahead of his time.
Yeah, he was. Just with the criteria of the movie.
Well, especially the internet stalking. I mean, like I said, there weren't that many people
on the internet back in 1998, you know?
No.
Basically, that's when the internet just basically first started, really.
I can't remember when I got on the internet. I think it was in 95. I don't know. I know I joined Amazon when it was a book, only sold books, so I've been on there a while. What else you got?
That's about all I got for trivia. What
okay,
else you
well,
got?
Now, D had tried to make this movie before as a slasher film, and it didn't work out, so he eventually repurposed it to this. He actually had a psychologist or a psychiatrist read the script, and they said that this was a perfect description of like a sadistic serial sex, you know, fiend or whatever, and that the psychiatrist did not want to talk to D anymore after that. They were sort of shocked.
And he was probably like, cool, that's what I was going for.
That's what he was going for. So he was actually impressed with that.
Well, that's awesome.
Now, when D made this, the plan was to make sequel after sequel after sequel.
Yep.
And actually, there was a sequel developed called Strangeland Disciple, which was going to be distributed by my buddies at Lionsgate. And D wanted it to be rated NC-17. And
then release an R rating after it.
After. And yep. Lionsgate was all for it. But D has tried to put a sequel out to this movie since it came out. It never happened.
He's still trying.
No, he gave up as of 2001. He said he's done.
Oh, I thought he was. I thought there was talks that where he was no, thinking it's about over. Doing it again.
No, D's actually talking about making a new movie now. He says he has another script and that this is going to be another genre-changing movie. So D's moved on after all these years and looking to make another movie.
Well, awesome.
Now, there was a comic book that came out.
Yeah, there was.
And that was actually released by the Scream Factory. I wish the fuck the Scream Factory could get a hold of this thing. But like I said, the DVD is adequate. It's a very good DVD. It's it looks just like a Blu-ray, upscaled almost. So, and that's about all I've got for Strangeland. I could talk about this movie for several more hours, but we need to shut up because we're going over. So, Michael Myers, we're done. So time to rate this thing. Does this movie hold up?
I think it does.
As good as I say it is. You go
I
first.
Think it is.
You think everything's good on it.
I love this movie. I was actually excited to watch it last night when I watched it.
Well, I've watched this movie a million times. And I will say this. I find it a lot better movie watching it with Dee Snider's commentary track because it's hilarious.
Well, you might have to let me borrow that and watch it because
that thing's worth a $200. You have to get your own. No.
You won't want to let it go down the block.
Nope, because you'll cigarette smoke all over it. This ain't leaving the house. It's staying in the museum. This is actually part of the museum. Strangeland DVD that's rare. So where are you going to rate this?
You know what would be cool?
What? If
somebody did like a haunt based on it.
They did that for Saw.
But it ain't the same.
What are you rating this thing? We're going to have to stop. You're going too long. What's your rating?
I'm going to rate it a 4.5 because I think it still holds up. Dee did an awesome job with this, writing and directing, or not directing, but acting in it.
He might as well directed it.
Yeah, he might as well. I'm sure he had a big hand in it.
He did.
So the soundtrack was awesome. Yeah, I ain't watched it probably 5 years, dude. And I watched it last night and I was very impressed again. So
my turn.
Yeah, I give it a 4.5.
Well, like I've said, I enjoy it better with Dee Snider's commentary track. So that tells me that this is not a perfect movie. I enjoy the movie. I think it looks cool. But I will have to say some of the acting is pretty pathetic in it, honestly. Robert Englund was too over the top.
Yeah, he tried a little too hard.
Some of the storyline is just unbelievable. And the way he was putting the nut house and everything was good, it's just not very believable to me. Because D made it to like he actually was reformed, and I just don't buy that. So I have a few issues. As far as it holding up, yeah, it holds up pretty good. It is definitely a low-budget movie, and you can't hold that against it. I mean, it did so much, and when it was released, that people wouldn't even known existed yet. It's very ahead of its time.
Exactly.
So I would give a Strangeland a 4. I'd give the soundtrack a 4.5 because there's a few sucky songs on there, but the good songs make up for it. So I say a 4 and a 4.5, but I'm going to down one thing, and that is the actual score to the movie. It was not a good score. I think it would have been better off without the score. I don't like it. I give the score a 2. They should have just played like industrial music the whole time. So that would be my only knock, is I don't like the score of the movie. You don't hear it very often because there's music playing 90%.
Yeah, I don't even think I even paid attention to it.
And I will also give the Sheltie that barked throughout the movie a 5. People, I remember I was watching this with David once. He's like, that ain't very believable. I'm like, dude, you know how my mom Sheltie barks. They're loud. Yeah, you would hear that Sheltie barking through music. And I had a Sheltie living in my house for a while. His name was Truman, and he barked loud enough to where it would bark through music. So I give the Sheltie a 5. And that's my final comment for Dee Snider's Strangeland. And that's all, folks.
All right, everybody. Season 3. Hope you're enjoying it so far. Thanks for listening, everybody. Check out the YouTube. Hit that like and subscribe.
Yeah, the contest is still going to cut.
Still going. We got a week. We got a week from tonight. If we don't have 100 subscribers by then, I will not get my hair cut.
Well, good.
But you never know. The evil ones might surprise us.
You know who I noticed in the background? Right there, I'm pointing at him. That's Chatterbox.
Chatterbox.
And Chatterbox just went into his summer hiatus. He was a month late for it. He usually goes to sleep in June and he'll wake up in September, but he actually just went to sleep in July, so he has a 2 month rest.
He looks cool in the green light for sure.
That's why Chatterbox gets a green light. Chatterbox is one of our famous props from the Count Karabi haunted house. Now he's a museum piece.
All right, everybody.
Stay
Thanks
evil.
For listening again, and check us out on all the social medias, and happy anniversary, brother.
Happy anniversary, and stay evil. Oops.
Cheerio. Where the fuck's the stop button?
Stop the day.
Here we go.
In this small town.
Check this guy out.
On this quiet street.
Now we can talk to him one-on-one.
An unspeakable evil is stalking the net.
What kind of name is Captain Howdy?
He found a series of symmetrically placed puncture wounds.
Accused Archer.
Welcome to my world, Detective.
Pain is a uniquely personal experience.
Oh, God, please don't let this be happening.
My badges are forever.
My badge represents the law.
I'll kill him.
Trust me.
That's better.
There's nowhere to run.
Daddy!
There's no place to hide.
Find me.
He's got this town wired.
Gotta love this technology.
Kevin Gage.
Ready to come in?
Elizabeth Peña.
What have you done with my daughter?
Robert Englund.
Somebody's got to take that boy out.
Dee Snider.
So much flesh, so little time.
The hunt has begun.
I want to play ball, Scarecrow.
Strangeland. Now, the terrifying Strangeland comes to home video as part of Artisan Entertainment's Platinum Choice program. And day and date with a VHS release comes a feature-filled DVD, including an available only on DVD unrated version and Dee Snider commentary. Plus production notes, a 14-minute MTV special and comic book insert. Strangeland is supported by an eye-catching in-store standee and has a guaranteed 60-day pay-per-view window. Order the bone-chilling thriller Strangeland.